Welcome to Habits for Your Happily Ever After, where we get clear about your marriage communication. Because when your relationships are strong, you're able to concentrate at work, reduce conflict at home, and receive support for your dreams so that you have the courage to live your best life. I'm Rebecca Mullen, a relationship coach living in Western Colorado. And today we're going to talk about the power of noticing in your relationship, because when you can notice without judgment, your relationship will undergo an enormous change. We'll talk about how it's tempting to come up with good guy, bad guy, or I'm right or you're wrong narratives in our relationships. Instead, I'll give you a habit to challenge you to notice without judging. Why is it you don't see any pregnant people until you get pregnant? And then suddenly there's pregnant people everywhere. Suddenly there's a new story you're telling yourself. People get pregnant? Oh my gosh! What happens when you get pregnant and a whole new world of experience is suddenly available to you? I remember riding in the car with my nieces and nephews, and they kept pointing to cars and naming. There's a Plymouth Vista! Or there's a Dodge Caravan. I was like, how do these little kids know all these car names? And then my sister enlightened me. Well, we're driving in a Plymouth Vista and our old car is a Dodge Caravan. They'd just gotten a new car. And suddenly the world of cars was a big deal. But the only two cars they knew were their old car and their new car. We're all like my nieces and nephews. Our world is filled with what is familiar to us. What do we have experience with? It's like the pregnant people who don't exist until you get pregnant, and then all we notice is how many pregnant people populate the world. We notice what we know. Last week, I told you a story about when I first got dogs. I noticed what I knew. I noticed all the times I walked the dogs. I noticed all the times I fed the dogs. What I didn't notice was all the ways my husband interacted with the dogs. This is because we tend to overestimate our own contributions and underestimate our sweetheart's contributions. What I noticed led me to some very judgmental conclusions. I'm a good doggy mama. My husband is a lousy doggy dad. And then I created identities around this quote-unquote evidence I've gathered, and I tell myself a story. I'm good with dogs. My husband neglects dogs. Armed with these identities of each of us, my filter for what I notice narrows, and I only see all the walks that I take with the dogs, all the times I'm cleaning up poop, all the times I'm bathing, feeding, and tending the dogs, and I see none of the times that David is on dog duty. My story gets longer. My judgments get stronger. I'm good. He's bad. Now, how do you think this impacts our relationship? Alienation and resentment, right? Because I only see evidence that validates my story, the story I'm telling myself in my own brain. What if I could notice a bigger world? What if, like with pregnant people that suddenly appear, what if I could pretend to see the world through my husband's eyes? Remember my interview with Sarah and Chris in episode number 41? Remember how Chris described Sarah's loving lenses? Sarah had told herself the story that her husband was a wonderful man full of generous nature. So when he behaved in a way that was self-absorbed or mean, she didn't see her husband as a mean person. She noticed his behavior and said, well, this isn't consistent with the person I know. She got curious. She wondered what was happening in his life to elicit this uncharacteristic behavior. Her curiosity led her to see how stressed he was at work. That realization inspired compassion. This is the power of noticing. Noticing without judgment, or noticing with a presumption of good intent. We have an interview coming soon that I'm excited for you to hear, in which marriage and family therapist Chantel Landeros offers us the habit to assume positive intent and how much that changes the dynamic in your relationship. So stay tuned for that. But let me ask you, what happens when you expand your ability to notice the world from a variety of points of view? What if I introduced my nieces and nephews to my Ford Aspire? Then they could recognize Plymouth Vistas, Dodge Caravans, and Ford Aspires. How can you notice the world you live in from your sweetheart's perspective, as well as your own? How would your relationship change if you were able to notice the dirty kitchen floor from your sweetheart's perspective, as well as your own? When we can only see our own experience, it's much easier to find fault. I've been so busy. I've left home before 7 and gotten home after 8, 3 days in a row. I haven't had time to clean the kitchen. And then we make a leap. You should have cleaned the kitchen, we say to our sweetheart. We say this because we imagine the life of our sweetheart is free of conflict and full of rainbows. We're sure they had tons of time and no responsibilities. We want a clean kitchen. A clean kitchen is good. We see that our sweetheart didn't clean the kitchen and suddenly they are bad. It's normal for us to want to tell the good, bad story because our lives are filled with stories of good versus evil narratives. Harry Potter is good. Voldemort is bad. Greta Thunberg's activism is good. Polluting oil companies are bad. We are fed the good, bad binary choice all the time. But life is full of complexities. When you can notice the world through your sweetheart's eyes as easily as through your own, you naturally grow curious of the complexities that arise. When you're able to see those complexities, you grow compassion. Compassion cultivates connection in your relationship. Judgment, on the other hand, fosters alienation. Judgment closes doors. Compassion opens arms. Why is compassion crucial in your relationship? Because when we repeat our own story, we get lonelier and lonelier. Each time I told myself I was the only one who took care of the dogs, I resented my husband a little bit more. That resentment made it easier to be angry with him. But what happens when I try to notice that era of my life from David's point of view? I remember him cautioning me about how much work a dog is. I can see him making allowances so that I could have a dog. I see him enjoying me, enjoying the dogs. I see his generosity. I also notice how much it disrupts his peace each time the dogs bust out barking. I'm able to notice that getting one dog, let alone two, was not his first choice. I see how tolerant he is when the very concerns that he voiced are the realities he's now living with. Once I'm able to notice this more complex view of the world, without judgment of who's right or who's wrong, just noticing the details, then I'm able to appreciate all that David does to welcome our dog-rich lifestyle. I see my efforts differently as my responsibility, since I was the one who begged for the dogs to come into our home. Where are you feeling frustrated with your sweetheart? Are you upset about the unmade bed? Are you hangry every day when you get home and then you blame your sweetheart for not taking their turn cooking? What is the story you're telling yourself about the bed or the cooking duty? if you're a client of mine, you hear this refrain from me on a regular basis. Oh, that's good to notice. Because when we can notice, just notice, instead of judge, we broaden our capacity to notice a little bit more and a little bit more till we can see things that are unfamiliar to us. You see, we all have internal dialogue. We all make mistakes, right? We all have internal dialogue about those mistakes, and the internal dialogue is typically pretty nasty. Oh, I'm such a loser, or I suck at that. And how does that internal dialogue impact your relationship? Well, the more gentle you are with yourself, the more gentle you'll be able to be with your sweetheart and, frankly, everyone else in your life. Conversely, however, the more you blame, shame, and find fault with yourself, the more fault you'll find in your sweetheart and everyone else in your life. If you're a regular client of mine, you've heard me say, good to notice. This is my way of inviting you to be less judgmental of yourself and less judgmental of other people, so that you can identify what you want to change and then cultivate the energy to change it. Because see, when we notice things and make a judgment about them, what really is happening is that we're saying, I don't like my life exactly as it is, and that's okay. We all want to be growing. But when you spend your time feeding the fire of your judgmental thoughts, you steal energy from the part of you that actually can make changes. To avoid conflict and foster connection, this week's habit for your happily ever after simply is to notice a common conflict you have with your sweetheart without leaping to judgment of who's right and who's wrong. Simply notice your conflict with curiosity. How would your sweetheart tell the same story differently? What does the conflict look like through your sweetheart's eyes? Where can you extend compassion? How can you offer yourself compassion? You're tired. 3 long days in a row? Of course the kitchen is neglected. And how can you offer your sweetheart compassion? What may have kept your sweetheart from getting to the dishes? Maybe after you've been curious and developed compassion for each of you and how tired each of you are, maybe you realize you want to get takeout tonight, or at least eat cereal so there's little mess and no fuss. Maybe you can put on some music and have a dance party together as you clean the kitchen together. Or maybe you agree that the dishes will just wait until the weekend. Notice your tendency to create a good guy, bad guy narrative to describe your conflict. And how can you remove the judgment, the good and the bad, and simply see the complexity of blending two people's lives? Then notice how your connection changes as a result of your changed narrative. Are you enjoying today's podcast episode? If so, I'd love to invite you to subscribe to my newsletter, because in my newsletter, I offer deals that I don't offer anywhere else, and I tell stories that I don't tell anywhere else. You can subscribe to my newsletter at RebeccaMullenCoaching.com/mailing-list. And I'll link to it in the show notes. We've arrived at our date night discussion segment. This week, I invite you to have a discussion about your tendencies to leap to the good guy, bad guy narrative. What is the conflict that is most likely to produce accusations of I'm right, you're wrong? How can you get curious about that conflict? And what does that conflict look like from your sweetheart's point of view? Lastly, how can you offer compassion to both you and your sweetheart? When you discuss the idea of compassion instead of who's right and who's wrong, the love connection you have in your relationship deepens and grows, and you trust each other to have each other's backs. That's it for today. I'm Rebecca Mullen, and this has been Habits for Your Happily Ever After, where we get clear about your marriage communication. Because when your relationships are strong, you're better able to concentrate at work, reduce conflict at home, and receive support for your dreams, so you can have the courage to live your best life. If you enjoyed this podcast, I'd be grateful if you'd send a link to your friend. Habits for Your Happily Ever After is produced by Grace Smith. All our music and sound comes from Walk West Productions. I'm Rebecca Mullen. Thanks for including me in your relationship today.